All right, I'm excited to be here with you this morning. God is good. Now, I did come here with a lot on my mind this morning, and there is a lot going on right now. Many of you have experienced this storm, and I don't know, there's graduations coming up this next weekend, and I had a lot this week as well, but I am just excited to share with you. And today, our topic is, in the midst of everything going on this week, I think the topic was relevant for my life: Jesus is closer than you think. And maybe you walked in today carrying something heavy too. I don't know what it is. There's busyness, and there's disappointments and doubt, maybe anger or anxiety, maybe frustration. Maybe there's trees in your driveway too, and the power's out. But let me tell you something, just because you don't recognize him always doesn't mean that Jesus is not walking right there beside you. And that's exactly what happened in our story on the road to Emmaus. He is closer than you think. So we're going to open up the Bible and look in Luke chapter 24. And you know, I love the Bible. I love Jesus. And this is one of my favorite chapters. I say that a lot, but I really like this chapter in Luke chapter 24. And we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to lead up to the road to Emmaus, because this chapter opens in a graveyard and it ends in this global movement. So join with me. We're just going to go through the passage and see what we have to hear from God today. The first one says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen? They came looking for death. They came expecting to mourn. They prepared these burial spices. They didn't prepare songs of celebration. But what did they find? An empty tomb. And the verse continues, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why are you searching for life in dead places today? Maybe you are wanting purpose from likes or follows or validation from something that's temporal or shallow affirmations, but God's not in that. He's raised. The tomb is empty and he is risen. And the angel continues, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners. He must be crucified and on the third day raised again. And then the women remembered Jesus' words. So these angels show up with a reminder to the women, and then they got it, right? And they remembered. And when I picture this scene, I imagine them like dropping their burial spices. And they said, hey, now we have hope and excitement. And there's something more to this story. It is not ended here. And so I just see them running, because we keep going in the next verse. With excitement, they start heading back to the disciples. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Now, these women are not just bystanders in the gospel story, right? They're the first ones to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They're the first ones to share that he is risen. And Luke lists some of who they were. And I want to tell you today, if you sometimes feel like a minority or you are overlooked, like, Jesus reveals the gospel message to those people, to us first. Jesus revealed the message to the women. Mary Magdalene, you know her story. Jesus healed her, and she was a faithful follower. And she understood things as Jesus preached them more, I think, than the disciples often did. She was there. We have Joanna. Now, she was a woman of influence and means. Her husband was King Herod's treasurer, and like he was over land and the treasury, right? And so she had influence and means, and Jesus healed her too, and she was a faithful follower. Then we have Mary, the mother of James. Mary was a common name in the Bible, and so they often identify the Marys as the mother of or the wife of or where they're from, right? So Mary was a common name, and this is how she was identified, and she was a faithful follower of Jesus as well. But get this. Here's the thing. Even they run back to the disciples, and even with the angel's message, even with the empty tomb, even with this testimony that they're sharing of what they saw, the disciples are like, wait, hold up. Verse 11 says, but they did not believe the women. Their words seemed to them like nonsense. Isn't that just like us sometimes? We can hear the message. We know the Bible passages. We know the promises. Isaiah 41, we looked on the screen. Thank you to the praise team who read it. We will read those. That has five promises in one verse. I love that verse. We know the promises, but when life sometimes gets hard, we forget and it seems like nonsense to us. And that's why I love Luke chapter 24. It doesn't just give us this resurrection theology, but it gives us resurrection encounters. Jesus doesn't just stay in the tomb. He doesn't just go to heaven. He meets people exactly where they are, in their confusion, in their doubting, in their grief, in their brokenness. He meets us where we are. And in Luke 24:13, as we continue, now that same day, now we're hearing the story of Emmaus. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Here's the moment in this passage that hits me every time, Luke 24:15. Like, understand the magnitude of this. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. He is closer than you think. And I don't know where your journey has taken you in life. There is a lot of things that happen. You may have a child that's far from God. You may have aged parents you're caring for. You may have young kids you're taking care of. You may feel like maybe this path of life you're on is not the one that you're meant to be on. There is grief and loss and divorce and hardships. We encounter those things on earth. But I just want to remind us today, Jesus is closer than we think. And the same Jesus who walked out of that tomb, he walks beside us in those hard times. He walks with us even when we are walking away. He's not just waiting for us at church. He's along with us for the journey. Now, in verse 16, Jesus asks them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. So, okay, picture the story as we go along. There are two disciples. They're walking away from Jerusalem, walking away from this place where all their hopes had just died, right? And they believed that Jesus was the one. They watched him perform miracles. They watched him speak. They watched him flip tables, and they watched him raise people from the dead. And now all of that was gone, and hope was gone with it for them. Hope was crucified. They weren't walking away in rebellion. They were walking away in like a deep disappointment. And this is awesome. While they were walking and talking about him, Jesus shows up. And they don't recognize him because grief can sometimes cloud our vision. And you don't have to always see Jesus perfectly to have him walk with you faithfully. So back up in verse 18, this is one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? That's like coming here this Sabbath not knowing there was a storm on Thursday night, right? I mean, he's like, you're the only one who's been here? I don't know what, like, this is huge, what has just happened. What things? Jesus asked him, what has happened? Now, if you don't hear anything that I say today, I think this is the most important part. Please recognize the character of God here, okay? Jesus is the one who just lived it. He was betrayed, he was beaten, he was killed, he was nailed to a cross, and he comes alongside them, he stops, and he listens to what they are going through. which was about him, right? And so please recognize the character of God here. This is powerful. Jesus wants to know what you are going through. Now, they start sharing verse 19-ish about, Jesus 19. And Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it's the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us, because this is the same day that happened what we just read earlier. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. They explain all of this. They explain we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. They explained that the tomb was empty. They explained they didn't see him. They knew the story. They had all the right phrases, right? But they still missed the resurrection power. And church, can I say this with love? You can grow up in a church and still miss Jesus. You can know the doctrine, you can read all the right things, you can go to our amazing schools, which I love and spend my life for. Thank you to our principal who shared. I love the Andrews Academy and our other two schools here on this campus. But we can do all these things, but if it doesn't lead to an encounter with Jesus Christ, we have missed it. If all we have is information and not transformation, that's not good. So he continues in verse 25. He said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And so then Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. So what does Jesus do? He draws close to them. He asks them questions. He listens to what they're going through. He walks with them. And then he starts sharing what is in scripture. He starts with Moses and the prophets. He goes through all the stories and says, this is pointing to me. That's what he says. And we need to do that with the people we come in contact with. Now, I was walking this week on a walk. That's what you do on a walk. Something hit me, actually. So I'm from California originally. I have been here now, which seems like a long time, 15 years. So this is home now. But when I came to Michigan 15 years ago, something stood out to me, like majorly. And it wasn't just the freezing cold weather. I'm talking about, so crosswalks. Follow with me. Now, if you've ever walked across a street in Michigan, you may know what I'm talking about. Like, you can be at the crosswalk standing right there. I mean, almost in the crosswalk, standing right there. There's signs posted, cross here, right? And there's the beautiful paint on the pavement where you need to cross across the road. And unless you're bold enough to, like, throw your body into the traffic, cars don't stop, right? Like Michigan cars do not stop for pedestrians. And the message is very clear. Cars have the right of way. And if you're a pedestrian in Michigan, you have to dodge traffic, you have to stay alert, you have to hustle across, and don't assume that anyone sees you or cares. Now, I grew up, as I said, in California, and where I grew up, it's a different story completely with crosswalks. You step into the crosswalk, and everything changes. I mean, cars come halting to a stop. People, like, look at you right in the eye. They're like, we see you. We got you. Go ahead. Come across. They make sure you safely pass across. They say, you matter. They smile at you. And if you're a pedestrian, you know pedestrians have the right of way. The street might be busy. There might even be people. But the people walking through it are given time and attention to safely cross. And this is what hit me. Too often, the way our church treats our young people is more like a Michigan crosswalk than a California crosswalk. We put up signs, we say, you matter, you belong here, this is your church too. But when it comes to time for them to cross, to grow, to lead, to question, to be seen, what do? We fly right past. We don't stop. We don't look them in the eye. We don't say, I see you. I'll make room. You pass. Instead, we make them dodge tradition and our preferences and our pace, and we expect them to move fast, stay safe, and not to get in our way. But what if the Seventh-day Adventist Church became more like a California crosswalk? What if we stop? What if we slow down? What if we look our youth in the eye and say, you belong here. I'll stop for you. I'll make space for you. Because, listen, our youth aren't just walking through church, they're walking into their calling. And how we treat them at the crosswalk might just determine whether they keep walking with Jesus at all. And I've seen too many of our young people leave, not because they stopped loving Jesus, but because they stopped seeing him in us. They had questions, the church gave them silence. We taught them how to behave, but not how to meet Jesus in the brokenness. They grew learning church culture, but not kingdom calling. We handed out rules, but didn't explain relationship. And I believe what draws this next generation, it's not stage, it's not the lights, it's not entertainment. It's seeing surrendered lives to Christ. That's what keeps and draws our generation. Now, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus doesn't find the disciples who are walking away and just say, what do you think you're doing? Right? He doesn't say, you've got it all wrong here, which they had part of it wrong. He walks with them. He listens. And then he breaks down the word of God. And don't get me wrong, I have witnessed giants in youth ministry. I have spoken with them and worked with them. There's a list. If I started listing people, it would go on. And we have many of them here in our congregation, in our schools, in our classrooms. And many of you are them who love our young people. And we have Ben Martin at the tent and all the work that goes into that, right? But as a Seventh-day Adventist church as a whole, I believe we must do better. We must make room and not complications. And we have to stop at the crosswalk. And to my youth, there's probably some sitting around and up in the balcony. This church is yours. We want you here. We want your ideas. We want your energy. We want your passions. We want you. I mean, even if it comes with late night water balloon fights after satellites. But yes, we want you. So please, this is your church. Luke 24:28, as we continue, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly. They said, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. Invite Jesus. He stays with you. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he began to give it to them, and then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he then, poof, disappeared from their sight, and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scripture to us? And let me tell you, in that moment, everything changed, right? Jesus sat down, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it. And in the breaking, that's when their eyes were open. And some of us are waiting for Jesus to show up in like a big stage moment, but he's been waiting to meet you in the breaking, in the quiet, in the moments with him, the silent ones, one-on-one, in the ordinary, in the bread, the tears. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And I want to ask us today, is your heart burning again? Are you feeling this slow fire stirring in your soul, that sense that maybe Jesus is closer than you thought? 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord is risen and he appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So as they were walking away, suddenly they get there and they understand and it comes full circle. They drop everything and they run back. I mean, do you remember how far it was? 7 miles. They run back the 7 miles and they go to the disciples and say, I mean, they're probably breathing hard. Just kidding. But they say, we saw him. He's alive. He broke the bread and we opened our eyes and nothing else mattered in that moment. Once they experienced Jesus again, they just had to share about him. they couldn't help but tell somebody. And that's my hope for us when we experience Jesus anew and again and every day. We just can't hold it in, but we have to tell somebody about him. Verse 36, and while they were still talking about all of this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And let me remind you, God has a habit of showing up. And he'll show up for you. He's shown up for me, and I believe it for you too. He shows up in your questions, in your grief, in your celebrations, in your isolation, in your breakups, and your burnouts. Jesus shows up. Jesus is closer than you think. And then when he does, share that moment with someone else. So I want to ask today, are you walking away from something God's calling you back to? Have you been talking about Jesus but not walking with him? Is your heart burning but you've been afraid to respond? Have you been stopping at the crosswalk and seeing people? Today, Jesus is closer than you think. He's not going to walk past you. He's walking right with you. He wants to just wait and break bread with you and open your eyes. He's calling you to be a witness, to let your heart burn again, to run somewhere with this story, to speak peace with power to a world that still doesn't recognize him. So don't forget, Jesus is closer than you think.